I'm going to just start with a short verse from Ephesians 5. And of course, we're focusing on the sixth commandment. But I'm going to start with this and end with this, and you'll see why in a minute. Ephesians 5, verses 28 and 29. This is the living word of God. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Father, help us to listen and learn now. We are your people. We want to obey. We want to come to your table with a right heart, and we rejoice in your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we saw in the question and answer number 68 and number 69 on the sixth commandment, which is you shall not murder, that it requires, first of all, it said it requires all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others. And then number 69 tells us that the commandment forbids the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbor unjustly or whatever would tend toward that. So now usually you'd think that it would be natural for people to want to preserve their own life. Indeed, it should be. And certainly in a believer's life. Yet there are many ways, I believe, that we live which might reduce the length of our lives. We don't think about it maybe, or even if we do, we kind of just push that off. But we have responsibility before the Lord. We are responsible for this body that he gave us. We're stewards of it. And so we might not think about how our lifestyle maybe might cause us to break this commandment or to minimize this commandment. So the young tend to think or act that, you know, they can take more risks, right? Because they feel, oh, I have a lot of years ahead of me, I can always recover, right? But when you're middle-aged or more than middle-aged, you realize your limits more. And I think that's good, but all of us at all ages must apply this commandment. So, but in general, we all need times of rest, right? We need times of recreation, we need times of exercise, and we need times of work. And if these are off balance, I mean greatly off balance, it tends to harm us, I believe, and to reduce the possible years of our lives. And again, the Lord knows every day. The Lord knows every minute. And yet, we are still responsible. We're still responsible. Too much rest, I guess. Excessive recreation, that's not an oxymoron, can be negative. And certainly too much work or too much exercise can also harm us. And if our lifestyle is going to cut years off our life, then we should take steps, I believe, to keep this commandment. So this commandment implies, first of all, what is called temperance by some, or self-control, or moderation. For example, no matter how much you think chocolate is a vegetable, okay, it's made from beans, you know, if you've convinced yourself that it's a health food, and you eat a pound a day, it's going to have a negative impact on your body and on your lifespan. And it's kind of exaggerated, but you know, you might have a great attitude, but it's not good for your body. And so we must remember, dear family, that we are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6 makes it clear. We are not our own. We are bought at a price. So glorify God in your body and in your heart. So we're to glorify God in our body. And regarding our own life, well, let me state, the Catechism states that we should take all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and that of others. And we here believe in biblical self-defense. I won't go into that. I could talk a long time about that. But regarding our own life, you know, why we seek to, we must seek to live in wisdom. For example, let's say one of my sons wanted to be a motorcycle stuntman. Well, I would say that's not really very wise. Yes, I would exhort one of my sons. And I was never a fan of motorcycles anyway. That was their decision, but I certainly wouldn't encourage them in that regard. Or, you know, regarding recreation, let's say you wanted to go bungee cord jumping or something. And you know, you have a family, you have kids, you just don't, I know, again, these are exaggerated, but we have to think about on a daily basis for us, how does this apply? That risk of life is certainly unwise. It's against this commandment, clearly. So again, those are extreme, but we are responsible to preserve life. There are many small ways to practice keeping this commandment, I believe. And we shouldn't just say, I'm too busy to think about those. So one of the ways to preserve the life of others now is to proclaim the gospel. To proclaim the gospel to those who are stumbling to their death, to the slaughter. Proverbs 4 says, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. As our desire yesterday as we handed out those tracts. So we have the joy and we have the responsibility to proclaim the good news, which alone saves people from eternal death and from punishment. Now, one of the most terrible acts, I believe, of murder in modern day is the murder or the genocide of millions of children. The dignity and sanctity of human life is routinely perverted by abortion in our land. Many of our government leaders are complicit in this murder. And we will reap what we sow, brothers and sisters in this country. There is a fruit, a natural fruit from that. But we can be involved through helping, like we do through Assure Women's Center, praying for them, and also through End Abortion Nebraska, involvement in the abolition of this evil in our society, first of all in our state, and preserving the life of children. Also, it's our responsibility, I believe, to reach the parents, as the Assure Women's Center seeks to do, reach the parents who bring a child in or who want to end the life of a child. And we are called to reach out to legislators. I hope we are continually doing that, who are, it seems, some of them, willing to murder for the sake of convenience. And so, we pray outside the mill over there. And here now we hear about pharmacies who are going to sell and mail even the kill pill. And so we need to speak against this. We need to pray against it and be involved in legislation as we can against this. So, in other words, we should do what we can, and we are. I know we are in this church. I think there's maybe some more ways to do that. We should do what we can to protect life and to preserve those made in the image of God. And as I began in Ephesians 5, I'll end by noting this, that the Lord Jesus cherishes us. He cherishes his church. He nourishes his church. So he cherishes us as we should cherish our body. And if we're married, our spouse's body. And he showed that he cherishes us by dying for us, of course. And we are reminded as we come to this table every week that our Lord sacrificed himself for us. He gave his life. He shed his blood. He allowed his body to be broken for us to preserve our lives, to give us a life worth living. No greater love than this. And this commandment helps us to understand how great he loved us. And in this communion celebration, each week, this is a means of grace that God uses to nourish his people. He's nourishing us. This sacrament is a means of grace. And just as we do not or should not hate our own flesh, but we nourish it, or we should nourish it and cherish it, so does the Lord nourish and cherish his body, which is the church. We are part of that, praise God, because of his grace. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that you do nourish us through this communion celebration. And that by your death, we have life. By your wounds, we are healed. And by your sacrifice, you show how much you do cherish us, which the sixth commandment also shows. Lord, thank you for your commandments. And so we come to this table with joy, and we come in thankfulness, and we thank you that we are nourished by our union with you and our communion with you now. And we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.